Welcome back to the CTV show. It is finally here, the 2024 NFL season preview. I'm Thomas Pogrenick, as always joined by Christian Catanacci. Cat, how you doing, man?
Pog, I think this is better than Christmas Eve.
But I love Christmas Eve, man. I don't know.
And also, Christmas Eve there's usually football.
There's usually football on Christmas Eve now too, which is even crazier. But it's a close second. I'll give you that. It's a very, very exciting time of the year. Week one is probably one of the top 3 weeks of the entire season too. You just, all these months and months of speculation, you finally get to see some real live action for yourself. So I'm super pumped. I know you are as well. We're going to be rocking through some superlatives today in order to preview the season. So we've got 8 different categories. We're going to give our pick for each one of them. And then later on in the show, our spread picks are back, brought to you by our friends over at PointsBet. We're competing against each other once again, 2 games each week. Whoever's the better record, whoever's up more cash at the end of the year is the champion. And I believe you're looking to defend your title on that. Honestly, I'm going to go back and listen to our last episode and see who is the actual spread picks champion from a year ago. And we've got a new segment as well to close the show. Talking about the best game of week one. We're going to preview a game each week, and that's brought to you by our friends over at TickPick, the best place to buy your tickets for NFL games with no hidden fees. So we got a jam-packed show today. But yes, are you ready for another season? Are you ready to watch your Dallas Cowboys let you down once again?
Yes, of course. That's a given. Everyone asks me, oh, what are the Cowboys going to do this year? I go, what do you mean what they're going to do? Have you watched football the last 15 years? You know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to go to the playoffs and then they're going to lose. But it's okay, because during that ride, there's going to be a point come week 7, week 8, week 9, where I come on this podcast and I say, this is the year. This is when we are winning the Super Bowl. And you know what? Fast forward 5 weeks after that, I'll be crying on this podcast. So you know what? We'll save it. It's the same book. It's just about chapter, call it 18, in Cat's road to watching the Cowboys win a Super Bowl in his lifetime. I might be 78 years old when the time the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, but I guarantee it will happen one day. Who knows? Who knows where? Who knows? One day, when it happens, Pac, we're going to fly to Dallas. I'm going to treat you to a Cowboys Super Bowl, because I know that the Dolphins won't ever see that for the Dolphins.
I don't think so. I can't agree with you either.
So, you know,
I've never even seen them win.
It depends, right? Who knows it will come first, right? But we'll see.
Our 8 categories today for our superlatives, we're going to talk breakout player, sleeper team. I have this titled Most Intrigue. It can be a player. It can be a team. If it's a player, it's someone you're really intrigued by. If it's a team, same thing. The biggest disappointment, the quarterback to make the biggest jump this season, the first head coach fired, your MVP pick, and of course, your Super Bowl pick, which we talked a little bit about on our last episode where we discussed our favorite futures. But let's get right into it. We'll start off with breakout player. It's something everyone loves to speculate on every year. Who do you got?
So, look, I don't know if this is... I put this player down, and I was like, yeah, it's kind of cheating because he did have a great year, but I don't like calling rookies breakout players. So, I'll go a step further. I put Jahmyr Gibbs down for this, but I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to break out into the best running back in football. I think Jahmyr Gibbs, even though he had 1,300 all-purpose yards as a rookie, I think he's going to take that a step further and hit the 2,000 yard mark. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is in for a massive, massive, massive year. He's going to be the bell cow of this offense. Montgomery will still play a role in the goal line downs. He'll score a bunch of touchdowns. I don't know if Jahmyr Gibbs will have that many to tally with, but I think he will be the focal point of this offense. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to break out into the best running back in football. That is my breakout player for the 2024 season.
I kind of do agree with you. It might be cheating a little bit, but I love Jahmyr Gibbs. I think he's such a fun and electric player. A year ago, if it weren't for David Montgomery eating into a bulk of his carries, but I do think the two backs help each other out.
Yeah, they complement each other.
Staying fresh, change of pace. It does work, and I love that the Lions go by that system, but I think he's a guy, it's harder and harder to keep him off the field, and it's going to be tough for him to not start getting, you know, 70% of the snaps on offense if it was once, you know, 50-50. My breakout player, And this is one that I think it's a player that everyone is kind of excited about, but we've all forgotten how good he truly was coming out of college. And that's Jaxon Smith-Njigba. He was drafted to the Seattle Seahawks, and everyone immediately said, well, you know, it's not really the greatest place to put up a ton of numbers because you're the wide receiver three behind two really, really good established receivers in Metcalf and Lockett. Tyler Lockett's, you know, getting up there in age, and DK Metcalf is very, very good. But I think this is a year where Jaxon Smith-Njigba can just completely transform into maybe even the wide receiver one in this offense. One thing I'll say about Geno Smith, as underrated as he may be, and you know, not a lot of people love to talk about him, man, does this guy throw a good deep ball. And last year, Jaxon Smith-Njigba worked a lot out of the slot. Didn't really work. They weren't using him correctly. They got a new OC coming in this year. It's going to be a whole new system. Watch out for this guy. They're taking the training wheels off. I think he is in for a big, big season where a year ago at this time, it's kind of like unanimous that Jaxon Smith-Njigba is a top 10 player in the NFL. I think the ceiling is really that high, both in the potential of the player and also in the system and in the offense that he is in. So Jahmyr Gibbs for you, Jaxon Smith-Njigba for me, two breakout players to watch in 2024.
Yeah, I love Njigba. I think he's honestly, when he was coming out, he's just so smooth in everything that he does. And it seems like it's going to be a seamless transition when you're talking like Smith-Njigba, or Tyler Lockett to Smith-Njigba. And I think you're going to see sort of the roles shift this year. DK Metcalf, again, an ultimate, like you're talking alpha wide receiver one, and he complements JSN. It's those two will feed right off of each other, and I can see both of them having a massive, massive year. And Geno Smith, we already know he knows he likes to sling it. So sleeper team, I'll go ahead and I'll get started. It's not so sleeper if you know how I operate and if you've been listening to the show, but I'm going to go with the Chicago Bears, right? I always tend to sort of stick, when I try to find a sleeper team, I always look for one, a good quarterback. I look for a relatively good backfield, right? Doesn't necessarily have to be a top five running back. Just has to be someone that's proven that can get a boatload of work and make it work. I look for a great receiving core, and then I look for a pass rusher and a pretty good, I like to call them borderline elite, corner, right? So you look at Chicago, they bring in Caleb Williams, DeAndre Swift. So those two check marks are off. Their receiving core is absolutely outstanding, right? You got Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze, and DJ Moore. And then you look at the defensive side of the ball. They got a year now of Montez Sweat, who, when he was with Washington, was widely regarded as one of their most explosive, if not the most explosive pass rusher they have. And obviously they got Jalen Johnson in the back end. Like, this is a team that, sure, people want to say, oh yeah, they just got Caleb Williams. But this is a team that can have, one, a very good defense. And two, they could win games in multiple ways, right? Can Caleb go and throw for 350, 400 yards? We've yet to see. I think he can do that, but they can also ground and pound, right? Like, this is a team that is set to win in the future and both right now. I think they're primed for a massive, massive year. I think double digit wins is well within reach for these guys. And I mean, I just have no choice but to call them a sleeper team. I don't even know if you can call them a sleeper team, but look, the Bears are underrated, man. And I think people don't realize how fast this team can just turn it around. Like, we've seen it all a lot, right? People say like, oh, they're a rebuilding team. Rebuilding teams can just become really good in one offseason. Like, it happens. Like, look at the Lions, right? Yep. I know the Lions were bad for a while, but boom, flip the switch. They're a double-digit win team. I think you can see a similar trajectory for their rivals in their own division. So give me Chicago Bears as a sleeper team.
Like, this is a team that, you know, what did they win, 7-8 games a year ago? Like, they were already half decent. And I'm already on record. I said this earlier in the offseason. In my eyes, Caleb Williams is walking into the best situation that a first overall quarterback has ever walked into in NFL history. Like, NFL, this is a historic weapons group where, if there was just a veteran quarterback that we had seen before and were super confident that was already good, we would have this team as a lock to the playoffs. The only hesitancy is, how quickly is Caleb Williams going to be able to adapt to this league? But then the upside is, this is a prospect with perhaps the highest ceiling that we've seen in the last 10 plus years. Andrew Luck is really the only prospect that somewhat rivals the hype of Caleb Williams. I know Trevor Lawrence had a lot too. I feel like Caleb Williams might just be one step above that in terms of how he was talked about in the draft process, in college, and all that. So I think the sky's the limit for the Chicago Bears this year. It's just a matter of if they can get over this franchise curse of just bad offense for so many years. My sleeper team, it's interesting because they actually play against the Chicago Bears in week one. I have the Tennessee Titans, and I've talked a lot about not only the AFC South in general, but some of the weaker, and I'm using air quotes when I say weaker teams in that division. A lot of it, that talk has been on the Indianapolis Colts just because of, you know, some of the mystery that they have to their team. But the more the offseason's dragged on, the more I've looked at this Tennessee Titans team and thought that they could be building something over here. They got a new head coach coming in Brian Callahan, second-year quarterback Will Levis, who looked pretty solid in limited usage as a rookie quarterback. They spent a lot of money in this offseason to get him some good weapons, so there aren't really any excuses. And on the defensive side of the ball, like very, very quietly, I think they've built one of the top defenses in the AFC, especially in the secondary, with some of the moves that they've made. Chidobe Awuzie, Legarius Sneed, you bring in Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs, two solid veteran safeties. Like, I don't know. It's a wide-open division. I just think the Tennessee Titans could be a real team that surpasses expectations in 2024.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's a segue right into the next one because I got the Titans written down for most intriguing team. I think everything about this Titans team, just to piggyback on what you said, is just, there's no better way to put it than it's just so intriguing. Like, you have Will Levis, who only started 8 games last year. What did they do? They went and said, okay, you know what? If this guy's going to be our guy, we're going to go and get a lot of weapons for him and see if we can make it work. Boom. Right? Like, you look at this team. They got Tony Pollard, not to mention Tajay Spears, right? You got Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyler Boyd. Like, again, talking, you want to find out if this is your quarterback of the future. You're going to know just off of the first couple games throwing to those guys, right? I think this is a team that is so, so, so intriguing. And will I be surprised? Look, the range of outcomes for me is why they're intriguing because, no, I wouldn't be surprised if they go and win 5-6 games. But I could see their record get flipped on its head too. And let's say instead of 6-11, they're 11-6. And I'm sitting here like, you know what? I'm not really that shocked at that either. The Titans, man, they intrigue me a lot. And this is the first time in a while that I've been intrigued by a Titans team because they're usually so boring, right? Yeah. Like the Titans, we talked
even
about this
before.
Even when
they were good. Like, right? Yeah, even when they were good. Derrick Henry at the middle.
It was a boring team,
tackle him.
Right? But I think they can be a fun, high-scoring offense. And again, like you mentioned, a lot of people aren't giving love to the defensive side of the ball. Like they got studs back there too. Jeffrey Simmons, I mean, like you mentioned, Harold Landry, Chidobe Awuzie, Quandre Diggs. Like there's a ton of guys there that are big, big players that, I mean, Ernest Jones. Like they just got Ernest Jones, right? Like we're forgetting about him too. Like, man, this is an intriguing team for sure.
Yeah, I mean, now it's just turning into a full AFC South episode because under most intrigue, I actually went with a player in this one, Anthony Richardson. He just seems like this urban legend because we haven't seen a whole lot of him in the NFL. He was unfortunately injured last year, but there's whispers around everywhere of how good this guy is and how good he can be and the ceiling that he brings to an offense, whether that's in the run game, whether that's in the pass game with the athleticism that he has, moving in the pocket, the arm strength. Is all this going to translate or is it going to be messy and sloppy because he did not have a rookie season if you think about it. So is he going to come in with those growing pains you would expect from a very, very young quarterback who was also touted to be more of a project and not a prospect, or is he just going to pop from day one? And I don't have the answer for you, but I'm very, very excited to sit down and watch this all unfold because I think the Colts have quietly become like must-watch TV just because of having this guy under center.
Yeah, 100. Like, remember his pro day? Yeah. And he was making those crazy throws. I mean, I don't want to talk about a pro day, but like, it just goes to show you this guy's a special, special athlete with a special arm. And if they can make it work, that's going to be a darn exciting team. I'm excited to watch that AFC South division this year. I know you mentioned that it's the superlative show, but it's probably the AFC South show. But
I think I'm all done on the AFC South. Yeah, the rest of my answers.
I am, but we'll touch upon him. Actually, no, I'm not. But we'll get to it later. So biggest disappointment here. This is relative to expectations. I'm not sure if yours is the same way, but I have Green Bay Packers as the biggest disappointment. Now, look, people are going to come from ahead and say, like, oh, but the Packers are the NFC favorites or the top three team in the NFC. I think the Packers are a good team, but I feel like people are just getting a little bit trigger happy here with calling them like Super Bowl favorites, right? Like, it's gotten thrown around now that they've gone from a sleeper team to one of the teams outside of the 49ers that's like most picked to go to the NFC, to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, right? Like, okay, I know they had a great stretch of games going into the playoffs last year, right? But like, they played the Bucs, they played the Panthers, they played the Vikings, they played the Bears, right? Like, I get it, they had to win out and sort of run the table there. But
lost
like,
to the Giants.
I know, dude. They lost to the Giants. Yeah. It's like, okay, then they go and embarrass the Cowboys. Look, the Cowboys in the playoffs is, you know, it's a great win, yes. And then they went and played the 49ers, who the 49ers were I feel like that game was weird because, in my opinion, there were so many, like, the 49ers for the first three quarters of that game just looked like so weird. It's like that where was the 49ers that we watched the first 18 weeks of the season, right? And then they sort of turned it all over. But like, look, can the Packers go and be that juggernaut team that people expect them to be? 100%. But I think they're still a little bit away, a little farther away than people think. Like, this year, I wouldn't be surprised if, heck, they finish maybe 10-7, have an okay year going to the playoffs, don't win a playoff game, and then, you know what, the next year after that, we're talking about this team as a very reasonable Super Bowl contender, right? Like, Jordan Love, again, we've only really seen a full season from him. I know he was behind Aaron Rodgers for all those years. There's just a lot of question marks that I have with the Packers, and considering how many people are so, like, gung-ho and, like, this team's going to be amazing, I've got a little bit cold feet when it comes to Green Bay. There's not really one set point. It's just, for me, it's like, I don't know, it feels a little bit too premature to, like, go and crown them as, like, one of the big contenders in the NFC.
I think they check all the boxes of why people are kind of falling in love with this team to match that narrative of, like, the next ones to rise up and challenge for a Super Bowl. But I also don't think it's out of this realm that, like, hey, Jordan Love, the first 10 games of last season, you know, wasn't all that great. I know how good he looked near the end of the season, but could he sort of fall back down to earth? And I just haven't quite seen enough from them to fully be all in, but I definitely get the upside and why people are picking them to win the Super Bowl. And I don't think I'm, like, confident enough. I mean, you'll hear my pick in a second on who my biggest disappointment is, but I'm not as confident to say that they're going to hit one extreme or the other. I'm not going to say, oh, they're going to go all the way. And I'm not confident that, you know, last eight games were kind of a facade. My biggest disappointment, I like to think of myself as someone who, you know, I like routines in my life. I like consistency. And there's just been one consistent string in my life the last 12 or so years that has just become a norm for me. It's like you said, it's like every year there's Christmas, every year there's Thanksgiving, there's the first day of school, there's Easter, all these things in the year that are just landmarks. And another one that's become a constant for me is just the New York Jets missing the playoffs. It happens every single year. And it doesn't matter who they have, which young, exciting team or player. And yeah, I'll be honest, I think the Jets have a very talented roster. I think they, you know, in every sort of key area, they have solid players, defensively especially, and then Garrett Wilson, you know, everyone thinks he's going to pop this year. Breece Hall, a lot of flash, a lot of upside. They shored up the offensive line. Aaron Rodgers just hasn't really played a whole lot of football the last year, and I can't get by Robert Saleh offensively. I don't know, and this is a coach I really, really like to hire. I liked him coming in. It got to a point where the way he managed the quarterback room in past and how bad the offense would be no matter what, I cannot look past that. And I can't fall in love with these New York Jets. I think in a tough division, they're going to be the odd man out. I think they're going to win 7-8 games and they're going to miss the playoffs. And I know you might say you're crazy. You know, they won last year 7 games without Aaron Rodgers. Sure. I think the AFC is going to be a different beast this year, and I think they're going to disappoint.
While I do disagree. If I'm playing devil's advocate here, and I'll take that one step further, and you look back at that last year that Aaron Rodgers had playing football with the Green Bay Packers, it wasn't the greatest year either. So, yeah. Look, I think you're going to be wrong. I think this is a good football team, but at the same time, it isn't the craziest thing to call them disappointing if their expectations are already sky high. Like you mentioned, they have massive expectations. I have massive expectations for the New York Football Jets. But, like, that is not a wild take at all, in my opinion. At least I could reason with it. There's going to be people that are going to go and say, like, oh, you're crazy. This team is going to be amazing. But, look, to call them the biggest disappointment, I don't know if I'd go that far, but I wouldn't be too surprised if this turned around. And like you said, if we're sitting here next year and we're talking about the Jets the previous year as an 8-win, 9-win football team, right? QB to make the biggest jump. Now, after this, I'll be done with the AFC South. I have Will Levis here again.
Okay, nice.
I think he could just be really, really good. I don't know. Maybe I'm setting the bar too high, but I think it's... Look, he only had 8 games last year. They went and got some great weapons, great run game. Brian Callahan comes from a very pass-happy offense. I think we can see Will Levis progressively get better and better as he gets more games under him. But I think if we're talking 17 or an 18-game regular season from week 1 to week 18, who's going to make the biggest jump in terms of just getting better and establishing himself as a franchise quarterback? I think we're going to see Will Levis do that this year.
I like the pick. Mayo Man, I talked about earlier when I called him the biggest sleeper. I think they got all the weapons. And I think they can turn heads in a conference that, like I said, 12 months ago this very week, the only team that was being talked about was the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're so easily going to run this division for the next 8 years. They got Trevor Lawrence. They got all these great weapons. Now everyone thinks that that's going to be the Houston Texans. And whether the Texans are good or not, that's not really my point. I just want to make the point of, things aren't always as they appear to be, and things change very quickly in the NFL. The Titans can easily storm to the top of the ranks in this division, and they can very well next year fall back. So I like that pick, but I like my pick even more. I'm going with Bryce Young. I think he can very well make a jump this year. If we look at Dave Canales, the new head coach in Carolina, every single quarterback he has worked under has experienced some sort of resurgence, some sort of renaissance. We saw what Baker Mayfield did last year. He had a hand in Geno Smith as well. And just because Bryce Young had a tough season in a situation that I think nobody could succeed in, everyone is so quickly ready to write him off. And I get it. He doesn't have the size. He doesn't necessarily have the athleticism. But this is someone who was picked first overall for a reason. And maybe he never hits the heights that everyone expects C.J. Stroud to hit. And maybe that does become a miss for the Carolina Panthers, sure. But I also don't think that's already set in stone. And I think that there's lots of time left in a career of a very young and talented prospect. And give him some tools, give him some time. Maybe he can make something of his career because he's got a great arm. He's got great accuracy. He's got good pocket presence. Like, everyone acts like they were so foolish to pick Stroud over him, but those same people were all talking about during that draft season how it's so close on who the top QB was. And I know you like CJ Stroud and whatever, that's fine. Everyone has, you know, some people had that take, but there were a lot of people who loved Bryce Young for a good reason. And this is a Heisman winner. This is a player who's won at every level. And I don't know. I just think we're too quick to write off a very, very talented player in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree. I think if he's going to do it, it's going to be this year. And if he doesn't, I don't think he's ever going to do it, right? Like, I think this is a massive year for Bryce Young. I think, like you said, everything is there for him now. Now, is his offensive weapons as good as, let's say, Tennessee? No, probably not. But it's good enough, right? And I think... if he goes and has a step back from the previous year, and we're going to start talking maybe, and we're talking, right? That owner is not going to wait, right?
Yeah.
He's not waiting. So this is a massive, massive year, because if Bryce Young doesn't show growth, we're going to be sitting in this podcast next year and talking about a new quarterback in Carolina. I'm confident in that. Super Bowl pick, or no, first head coach fired. Head coach fired. I mean, look, this is tough because it's so hard to like project and it's very rare to see coaches fired midseason anyways. You don't see it as often as people like to sort of go. It's like, oh, if they're going to suck, they're going to fire their coach. It's like, okay, yeah, I know. I don't
what
know.
Did Urban Meyer last, though, a couple weeks?
Urban Meyer was a total disaster, though. Like, that was a total disaster. And looking back at it, nobody probably would have said Urban Meyer would, right? Like, everyone was like, oh, Urban Meyer, what a hire. But it was an absolute disaster class. I'm going to go Brian Daboll. And
ooh,
it's a spicy one.
Yeah, I think that is a spicy right? one. Yeah.
And this sort of changed because I probably wouldn't have said Brian Daboll if you asked me this question last week. But a report came out now today, actually, this morning, saying that Brian Daboll is going to be calling plays this year. He's going to be taking control of the play calling. So if this offense just is an absolute disaster and this team starts off 1-5, 0-6 type of thing, I could see them getting impatient and I could say, you know what, we're just going to cut our losses here and we're going to let Brian Daboll go. I could see that going in a direction. The reason why I didn't name anyone else is just because I can't, like, I try to forecast it and it's like, okay, would so-and-so fire, right? Like, I don't want to speculate too much, but this makes the most sense because he's sort of taking the reins. Like, okay, it's going to either flow with me or burn with me. So give me Brian Daboll to be the first head coach fired.
I actually think Brian Daboll is a very, very solid head coach. And I mean, evident he won
so do
coach
I.
a year, 2 years ago. And I think that's someone that would get scooped up relatively quickly.
Oh yeah, big time.
I also know there's a lot of people who think Bill Belichick is going to be the head coach of the New York Giants next year. And Brian Daboll's in this unique situation where his career is kind of tied to Daniel Jones at the moment. And he was tied to a quarterback who probably overachieved 1 year and was also in a system with a terrible offensive line and little to no help at wide receiver. And Brian Daboll has kind of just had to be joined in the hip with that. Whereas, you know, other coaches come in and they tie themselves to other young quarterbacks who are just more talented and then they go on and have success. So I think Brian Daboll, if this is the last year in New York, I think he will last the season unless it's just like total catastrophe. But my first coach fired, and like you said, this is a tough thing to do. Also, it's not like we wish a termination of anyone's job on anyone. We're just kind of speculating.
It's a tough thing to project. It is.
Yeah, we're
it
just speculating on the NFL season. These things do happen. Coaches get fired. Teams don't meet
I'd probably get fired if I was a head coach.
Yeah.
Right?
Especially with some of the decisions you make on this podcast. I think you would be, I don't know.
That'd be a great GM, though. Give me the GM.
That's what you
My fantasy be. Teams are nasty.
Yes, that's what they are. I think this one, I got to stick with my guts. And last week on our Futures episode, I predicted that the New Orleans Saints would be a utter tire fire this year. And I'm going to say Dennis Allen is the first coach out the door. I think he's someone that, you know, it was kind of like, oh, maybe he would have gotten fired last offseason. And as soon as that's a discussion, the leash feels short to me. I could see a quarterback change here. I could see a ton of different things going on with this roster. Maybe they're sellers at the deadline. And I'm just not high at all on the New Orleans Saints going into next year. I'm going to pick Dennis Allen as my first coach fired.
I think Alvin Kamara is going to be traded at the deadline this year. I think that's my, I guess, extra bold prediction. He's got no contract after this season. He's still a valuable player, right? He's older, but I think a team that's looking for a running back that make a playoff push, we're going to see a trade as well.
Let's go to the MVP and then
we'll finish with the Super Bowl. So MVP, I said it on the podcast last week, and I'm going to say it again. My MVP will be Dak Prescott this year. I think he is just coming for revenge. I think the keys to the offense is here, especially if he is playing without a contract. It's just some extra motivation to go in and maybe cash in. We're talking $70 million in the open market if that's what it gets to. But yeah, Dak Prescott is the MVP. He was the MVP up until week 16 last year, and then Lamar Jackson sort of took it over. So I expect him to have another big year. He's got CeeDee Lamb back. He's got another year with Jake Ferguson. Solid run game. Offensive line is very good. Now, this is probably the best offensive line that Dak has had since his rookie year, assuming that the rookies pan out. So I'm expecting him to be comfortable back there and just doing his thing. I like Dak Prescott to win the MVP this year.
Okay. I don't hate it, like I said a year ago, especially when you're talking about future. I think it's solid value. My whole thing with the MVP, and I'm actually going to answer MVP and Super Bowl pick at the exact same time. You were talking about earlier, everyone's loving the Packers. I have complained this offseason. Everyone's loving the Texans. You know, Jordan Love's getting MVP buzz. CJ Stroud's getting MVP buzz. what happened to just picking the best player in the NFL? And I feel like Patrick Mahomes has now entered the, I call it the LeBron treatment, where he's got to do more than everyone else to get the MVP. And also last regular season for him was such a disaster. The numbers weren't good. The record for the Chiefs wasn't all that great. They looked super shaky offensively. And then he was just able to so quickly dial it up in the playoffs. Well, this year, his weapons group is about 10 times better than it was a year ago. Rashee Rice is going to be better in year two. You went out and got Hollywood Brown. Xavier Worthy is a weapon that he hasn't had in some time since Tyreek Hill's been in Miami from a speed standpoint. So I think this could very well be one of those years where he just goes 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns. And he's done it before. And just because he slept walked through the NFL season and still won the Super Bowl a year ago with his, whatever it was, 26 passing touchdowns and, you know, 10-plus interceptions, doesn't mean that's the new norm for Patrick Mahomes. He still has a standard where he is going to put up elite, elite-level numbers. And I'm going to take him to win the MVP. And those Kansas City Chiefs, I always say it, until I'm proven wrong, I will keep taking them to win the Super Bowl. I know the three-peat is this uncharted territory and it's so difficult, but I will be the one that gladly, gladly bets on this guy and bets on this team to be the ones to get it done.
I'm going to piggyback there too.
You're picking the Chiefs?
I'm thinking pick the Chiefs.
Wow, we finally got Cats Chiefs on the show. It's only taken 3 years for you to learn.
If there's someone that I'm going to bet to do the first ever three-peat, which trends are always made to be broken, right? It happens. It's not going to go on forever. The Kansas City Chiefs will three-peat. Will be the first three-peat the NFL has ever seen and repeat as champions in the 2024 NFL season. So superlatives. Look, that was fun. Well, we picked eight. We're going to look back on them. Probably all going to be wrong, except for the Chiefs pick.
Yeah, right? If there's anything that has the best chance,
right, it's right. Probably that Chiefs. It's like probably those Chiefs. Pick. It's probably Pox Chiefs. It actually was Pox Lions. Then it became Pox
and
Chiefs.
Remember what was yours? It was Cats Panthers when they had Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. And then that was a disaster. I sold my shares after week five. I think.
I
did not have diamond hands. Pox had diamond hands though. I was clowning him for that Lions take. That was what, 2 years ago now.
That was 2 years ago. Yeah.
Time flies
with Danny Campbell. But yes, time does fly, and we're back for another year of our spread picks, the best segment always on the show week in and week out. And once again, back for another season, this segment is sponsored by our friends over at PointsBet, the official betting partner of the CTB show. If you're the ultimate competitor, you know the value of a home field advantage. And at PointsBet, that advantage is yours with top-notch customer support and easy deposits. Come make your picks with us on PointsBet and enjoy a seamless Sunday of football. 19 and over, and please play responsibly. But yeah, we're back for another year. It's a clean slate, 0-0 records for both of us. I believe you won last year.
My crown's here. You can't see
it. In spirit of allowing you to defend your title for week one, I will give you the first pick.
Look, you know, I'm not really one to stick on trends like this, but for my first pick, there's a specific team that happens to be 0-9-1 in week one football games since 2014, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. Now, I expect them to change things around this year and have a relatively good season, but give me the Texans -1.5 week one. I think this is a team that just, look, I'm just going to go with the trend, right? It's been 10 straight years where they have yet to get a win. In week one, who knows it'll be this time. If it does, I'll happily lose just betting with the trend. Give me Texans -1.5 as my first pick of the week.
I shouldn't have been nice. I shouldn't have given you the first pick. I had them written down. Again, it's a similar thing where I feel like I'm higher than most on the Colts and I'm lower than most on the Texans. But because of the trend, because it's week one, only 1.5 points, you still want to go with Houston. So that is a pick I will commend you for. I'm going to come right back at you and I'm going to steal your own boys, because every week there's a line I don't understand, and maybe you can help me with this one, but why are the Dallas Cowboys 3-point underdogs against the Cleveland Browns? I know it's a road game, but why is that the spread? To me, the Cowboys should be the favorites. I would take them flat out money line to win this game. We're doing spread picks. I'll take them +3. I get a little bit of a safety net, but to me, they're just the better team. They got the better quarterback. I know everyone's high on the Browns defense this year, but that Cowboys defense is no joke as well. CeeDee Lamb's back. Like, I just don't think Cleveland has the high-end talent to win this game, even at home. And the Cowboys, they pick up right where they left off in the regular season, humming along, doing very well, and they start off 1-0.
Yeah, look, I mean, I had them here, but I was like, you know what, I'm going to take this down because I don't want to be a homer this episode. I'll save my homer takes for later on the show, but I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. I don't know. And that line opened at like 1.5. So now it's jumped to 3. So I don't know. It makes
maybe Deshaun Watson is just back. I don't know. I don't think so. If they put Jameis in, maybe I'll bet Cleveland.
What if that's why? What if Jameis is walking out? He's eating the W's. Maybe you're are you cashing out even if it's like a $3-4?
I think that should be allowed. I think I should. If Jameis starts, I'm allowed to change my pick.
Okay, fine. We'll keep that tentative. We'll put the little asterisk next to it. My second pick, and I know you just clowned them on the show a little bit and called them your biggest disappointment.
Oh gosh,
I'm gonna take the Jets to cover the spread. I don't think they're gonna win the game. They're gonna win the game outright, but give me them +4. Look, it's a little bit of a revenge game here for Rodgers, right? You know he's. Rodgers is a little weird, right? It's fair to call him weird.
A little.
He's an oddball, right? So he's probably, he went on that little retreat that he did where he dug himself a hole and was in darkness for 3 days. And he was probably thinking, I can't believe the 49ers didn't draft me. They drafted Alex Smith. And now he's traveling to the Bay Area and he's going to show them why. One, you should have drafted me. And two, you should have just signed me or traded for me when I was available because I'm going to stick it to you. Now, I'm not going to take him to win straight up because that would be ill-advised of me, even though I do some ill-advised things on the show. But I'm going to take the Jets +4 to cover, keep it close. This game, to me, has 3 points written all over it. Rodgers, Monday night revenge from a year ago. Jets +4, those are my two picks.
I like it because it's in primetime, but I could also see, like, just in pure Jets fashion, like, just get trounced in the first game of the season.
I'll be down bad.
Like 40-point loss.
No,
which I would love. Maybe that's just wishful thinking. Last pick of the show today, wrapping up week one. I'm going to take the Minnesota Vikings in a pick 'em. They're actually +0.5 going up against the New York Giants. It's a road game. I get it. It's in New York. But you were just talking about how you think Brian Daboll could be the first head coach fired this year and how the Giants are a bit of a tire fire. I'm not fully ready to just completely write them off, but I'd like to see a little bit more respect thrown Sam Darnold's way. Everyone's acting like Justin Jefferson is undraftable in fantasy because this guy's the quarterback over there. I do believe that there is a realistic Sam Darnold renaissance arc that we see this year. Kevin O'Connell is a very, very good offensive mind. We saw the numbers Kirk Cousins put up with these weapons. I actually like the Vikings to not be a complete disaster this year and to be very competitive down the stretch. So I'm going to take them to start off 1-0, turn some heads early. Sam Darnold, I can see him connecting with Justin Jefferson right off the bat, making everyone look foolish. I like them to win, so I'm going to take them here in the pick.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good pick. That's a game that I'm kind of going a little bit crazy deciding. I might ultimately make a decision and put one of my 6 survivor spots on that game just to like roll the dice and just be balls to the wall. I don't know who it's going to be because I think like it's going to be tough to find games where you could take one of the Vikings or the Giants. So maybe if you can sort of save one, I know it's an awful, awful, awful survivor strategy, but I got a bunch. So who knows? Maybe that's what I'll do. So those are those two picks, right? I got the Jets +4, Texans 1.5. You got the Cowboys and you got the Vikings.
Yeah. Hopefully a 4-0 week for us to start off very, very strong this year. Speaking of starting off strong, the NFL is definitely starting off with a wild matchup on Sunday Night Football this year, and that is between the Los Angeles Rams and the Detroit Lions. And this is the CTB Show Game of the Week that we want to highlight this week, give our take on who we think is going to win. Of course, anytime Matthew Stafford heads back to the Detroit Lions in Detroit, it is a monster, monster matchup, and it's even more fitting that this is who ended Stafford's season a year ago in a great playoff game. So this is the tick pick game of the week. And if you are looking for NFL tickets, this is the one site you absolutely have to go to. They have no hidden fees. The price you see on the website is the price you pay. And it's always the best place to go. Use code CTB for $15 off any purchase over $99. And if you're looking to go to this game in particular, Lions-Rams, they already show it on the website. The get-in price is $260. So they got some good prices all throughout their website, and they're always, always showing you the cheapest way to get you into the stadium. Once again, that's TickPick and code CTB. But Kat, let's get into it. The Lions and the Rams in our game of the week. Who do you have winning this one?
Look, as much as I want to pick the revenge spot for the Matthew Stafford-led Rams, I think Detroit's too good of a team. I think they're too good at doing what they want to do. They bring that physicality. They're going to control the clock. Jared Goff isn't going to make too many mistakes. I like the Rams as an overall team this year, but give me the Lions in this one. Tight, tight battle. I think it's not going to be necessarily a one-sided game like all Detroit, and it's going to be back and forth, but I like the Lions to ultimately win it.
I'm going to take the Rams for revenge, and I'm not necessarily super high on the Rams this year just because I do have some of my concerns on the defensive side of the ball for them, but this just feels like one of those games where just because the Lions lose doesn't mean I'm going to panic about them,
yeah.
But it just feels like one of those Matthew Stafford-type legacy games. I feel like he needs a big win in that stadium before he calls it a career. And I don't know if they're going to come out and boo him. I don't know if they're going to give him this grand ovation. I know it'll be very, very different now that it's not a playoff game, but it's still a season opener. The crowd is going to be fired up. I think this is going to be a great game, but I'm going to go the Rams 31, Lions 30. 1 point game.
Oh, we're making a score prediction. Okay. So I'll go 28-23 Lions.
Okay. That's solid.
Yeah, I think it's going to be back and forth. Detroit scores late, stops them late. I think there's going to be a chance for the Rams to win the game, like a late drive. I just don't think they're going to be able to do it. I think this is an amazing week one, like primetime game, right? There's so many storylines, right? It reminds me a lot of, remember a few years ago when Stafford made his debut with the Rams, it was on Sunday Night Football 2 week one, and he had a fantastic game. But I think it's going to be one of those. It could be a classic. You're right. It could be if the Rams ultimately win this game, it's going to be because of Matthew Stafford, and he's just going to will them to victory, and I wouldn't be surprised if he does it. But if I was a betting man, which I am because we just took some spread picks, I'm going to take the Lions.
Okay, well, there it is. Week one. Football is back. Everyone enjoy this Thursday, Friday, Sunday, even Saturday if you're watching college football, because there's always good matchups.
Oh, who doesn't watch college football? Well, you got it.
It is the best time of the year. You said it best. It's like Christmas morning to start off the show. And yeah, we are officially back. The podcast will be back. We will be back weekly, talking everything in the NFL, giving our picks for the following week, giving our game of the week for the following week. So expect to hear a lot from us this football season. If you made it to the end, thank you so much for doing so. Make sure to like, subscribe, rate us. Doesn't matter where you get your podcast. Help us out in some way. It would be great. And as always, make sure to follow us on Instagram at Catch the Blitz. Kat, any last words before the NFL season kicks off?
This time next week, I'll be sitting on the podcast and I'll be back on the Super Bowl Cowboy right bandwagon after they absolutely blow the Browns out 33-17.
I would love that because that means, actually, you can lose by three. That's all I care about. I just want them to cover the spread. But anyways, there's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
See you guys.